G'day, Oshie here. Thanks for downloading the show. If you're new, I'm just here at the top to let you know that you might be hearing an ad here, all right? Because I have a few people that work on the show with me, Andy Marr, my audio producer, Rachel Barrett, my EP, and I need to pay them to keep the lights on because they do really good work. So if you hear an ad, thank you. If you don't hear an ad, you're going to hear Dave Hughes say something quite profound.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Breathing is such a miracle that the fact that we are conscious is incredible. It's bizarre. And I do not want, and we never know when our last moment on this planet's going to be. It could be at any time. You know, there's examples every moment of every day where someone's just living their life and boom, it's over. I don't want that last moment to be me worrying about what someone said on the internet or me worrying about anything.
That is stand-up comedian and broadcaster Dave Hughes, and this is Better Than Yesterday. Hello and welcome to Better Than Yesterday. I'm Oshie Ginsberg. Thank you so very much for being here. I really appreciate you being a part of the show. If you've never listened to the show before, the show does what it says on the box. Just hopefully helps you make today a little bit better than yesterday. Something you hear on the show going to help you make today better than yesterday. That's a guarantee. I've been here since 2013. Mondays I'm here with a guest. Fridays I'm here with you. There's over 400 interviews and, I don't know, 200 or so episodes I've done on a Friday. Yeah, I'd love to you to dig into some of the back catalogue and enjoy. If you've never listened to the show before, I'm Oshie Ginsberg. I'm a TV host. I'm a podcaster. I'm an author. I'm a dad. I'm a stepdad. I'm someone who pulled a 100-kilo deadlift after a hip replacement in December. So I did a PR of 100 kilos on a deadlift the other day. I had my hip replaced in December, so I'm pretty fucking stoked about that. Took a while, but I got back to the ton. So I'm pretty happy about that. If you want to get in touch with me, super easy. Send Osher email at gmail.com. If you have been living under a rock or you're one of the people that says, I don't watch commercial television, that's fine. But there's a TV show called The Masked Singer on at the moment, and it's a show that I'm a part of making. I'm one of about 80 to 120 people, depending on the post-production process that we're going through it that week, who make this show. And it's a fuckload of fun. We're absolutely destroying it. There's a lot of Australians that really love it. Well over a million people watching each episode, which is big, big numbers these days. Couldn't be more proud of the incredible work that everyone on the show does, from every single person, from our production runners all the way up to our director and our network EPs. Everyone in between is doing the best work of their lives, and it's just the greatest. And we have, I think, two more shows to go. There's tonight and tomorrow night. And one of the people I work on this show with is a stand-up comedian and a radio host and a TV producer and TV presenter, Dave Hughes. Yeah, Hughesy. He's currently on the radio on Today FM as part of the morning crew. And he's also one of the guesting panel on The Masked Singer. He also has a TV show called Hughesy, We Have a Problem. He's a fantastic human being and a true, true delight. He's a dad. He's got three kids. He's just lovely to be around. The first person I told in the industry that I had stopped drinking when I was working on the project with him, 10 and a bit years ago now. And he's someone who hasn't had a drink for, since he was like 20 or something, 19. He's an amazing guy. Just turned 50, still runs every day, and a great human being. We caught up after he got off air with his breakfast show the other day, and so he was getting into late night hours for me because they normally get up at 3:30 or something. So it was about 11 a.m. by the time we spoke. So I'm really grateful that Hughesy came on the show, and I honestly can't wait for you to hear this. Whatever you think about Dave Hughes, you're about to have to do some thinking again. Enjoy. If you have anything to say to him, he loves a bit of tweeting. You can find him, D Hughesy, at D-H-U-G-H-E-S-Y. Hopefully he'll be out gigging again soon at davehughes.com.au. Enjoy this chat with Dave Hughes. How are you going?
I'm good. I'm good. So, it's a weird year, no doubt about that, but I'm trying to get, find my inner peace, as we all are. I'm sure you are as well.
I guess finding the inner peace for me, I don't know about you, it's become, I've had to do it far more deliberately. It used to kind of take care of itself a lot. Like, I've obviously been deliberate about it more recently, but it used to take care of itself a lot. Like, interaction with human beings and exercise and stuff like that just happened me going through my day. But being locked down, I found you have to be really deliberate about it.
You do. I agree. And it is something that is, hopefully we can take it with us for the rest of our lives. This, the fact that you can control your inner life, when your external life, you can't control sometimes, which we've really found in the last 18 months, but you still can, and you do control your inner life, and no one else does control it. You do. You make every decision about your inner life. No one else can make it for you.
You've been on this podcast before. Is that something you've come to more recently?
It's solidified, I think. Obviously, we let our mind race away. You know what that's like when you let your mind race away and you get in bad mental habits of thinking negative stuff. But it's realizing that you're making those decisions. No one else is making them for you. You're the one who's choosing to dwell on that, and you can choose not to.
But it's a tough leap to make, though, Hughesy, because once we realize that, we give up blaming other people, places, and things for why our day's not going well.
Yes, that is true. And once you do that, yeah, it's actually really powerful, and I recommend it for everyone. And I'm no way near a perfect example of it, but I am trying, and that's all we can do is to realize and catch ourselves moment by moment and not hold on to stuff that's, offended us or we thought was unfair, and just live now. And once you do it, you really can just leave behind all the negativity.
Negativity seems to, and bizarrely, I just don't know, like the entire time I've known you, like not only from when we first met, but from when I actually remember meeting you. If you want that story, you could listen to the early version of this podcast. The entire time I've known you, you have only ever come across as a positive person who just really wants the best for everybody. What has blown my mind in the last 2 years or so, people come at you publicly and I'm like, I just don't understand it. Have you thought about why people come at you?
No, look, I think when you're a comedian and people don't get your jokes, they take it personally. And I honestly do believe that. And this sounds like this is my ego talking, and I'll accept that. But people don't understand the levels I work at, honestly, as in comedy, and it offends them. But they don't see why other people could think I was funny because they don't get it. And so in that way, they lash out. And it's honestly, they haven't seen the light. And I don't give up on those people. I think one day they can see the light, even though they might write on the internet, he's not funny, he's never been funny. One day they might realise the joke. And I honestly believe that, mate. So that's one thing. So when you've got that and you combine the fact that over the last 18 months I have been online, I've been vocal about things that I've seen governments do, which I think are incompetent or just not helping the population, I've been vocal about that. So combine those two things. Someone who doesn't think I'm funny in the first place because they're not alert enough or aware enough of what I'm doing, combine that with their not happy with my politics, and yeah, they will definitely get very vocal online, basically. So yeah, which I've dealt with. My name's trended a lot on Twitter, for example, which is the only really thing I go on. And you, I know you're on Twitter as well, and you know what it's like. So yeah, but I do it because I express myself there, and I could have given it up many times. But in a way, I do believe that being, well, the victim, so to speak, of pylons has actually helped my life give up worrying about what people think.
So talk to me about that, because I've never had my own name trend on Twitter. I might have come close, but it's only ever been for my hair doing something or a suit I've worn.
Yeah.
Every time I've seen your name trending on Twitter, it is a stacks on. And I don't know how I could cope with that. As a people pleaser, I don't know how I could cope with that. It must have been confronting the first time or two that it happened.
Yeah, look, it is. But, you know, I've done many things that have got popular appeal over my career, you know, like opened the Logies a number of years in a row and, like, slayed the room and, you know, had thousands of people online say, you're brilliant, you know, like, and that's happened. But that never really made my name trend on Twitter. The first time my name ever trended on Twitter was when on the AFL footy show, I did a stand-up spot a number of years ago, which didn't go well. You know, because I didn't hit it right, and I was mocking James Hurd, who at the time was the coach of the Essendon Football Club, and his team had got caught up in a drug scandal similar to what happened to, I think, the Cronulla. Was it Cronulla, I think? Anyway, so it was, and my name trended on Twitter, and that's through negativity. So generally your name will only trend through negative stuff. So I think, I can't remember, it's happened a number of times over the last 2 years. And it is, it's absolutely ridiculous, but it really, it's only a few vocal people. It's not really, the online world is not real world, and it's just people trying to lash out at something. So yeah, over time it's become less of a concern for me, to be honest.
Has it kind of pushed you to a point where, as we just talked about, you've got to make a choice of how you react to it? Has it pushed you to a point of, as a comedian, you want everyone in the room to have a good time. That's when you step on a stage, that's your job. Has it pushed you to let go of attachment to getting the approval of an audience?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've said this before and I'll say it again, because it's really, for me, it speaks to a place which makes me happy. When I'm at my best doing stand-up comedy, you know, you might be in front of a room of 100, 200, 500, 1,000 or 50 people, whatever. When I'm in my mentally toughest and when in my happiest, I can look out to a room, say there's 300 people all laughing, but I can see someone who is not laughing, someone who is just looking at me like I'm making them have a bad time, like they don't think I'm funny, like they think that everyone else is wrong. And when I can look at that person having a miserable time, and when that makes me laugh, I can't be beaten. It's when you look at someone who is looking back at you like you're the worst person in the world, and that amuses you, that's when I'm at my strongest. And that's when I'm at my funniest, because life is ridiculous, you know, and you don't need to have everyone's approval to find it funny. It is. So, yeah. So part of me over this last 18 months enjoys trending. I love it, I must say. I actually love the fact my name starts trending. So but every now and again, I look down and think, oh, God, am I trending again? And then, oh, you know, I am. But I'm actually, look, a lot of people online go, I see your name trending. I think you must have said something terrible. And then I find out what you said. And I thought, what are they talking about? He's just actually spoken sense. So
not everyone's going to be you. Not everyone's got, you know, a big breakfast radio profile or a primetime TV show. But people will feel sometimes through social media, or they'll put, you know, a photo of their kids doing something up, and they'll feel the stacks on from their internet community or whatever. Yeah. So what have you learned about detaching?
Look, I, you can turn it off and it doesn't exist. It honestly doesn't exist. It's in you only, you're honestly, and this is from someone who's had, you know, literally thousands of people write, well, apparently write negative comments about them. It doesn't matter. It honestly doesn't matter. It is just words that doesn't mean anything. You only ever live inside your own head, and you make all the decisions about how your mood's going to be, and no one else is making them for you. You're making them yourself. So, yeah, I believe that these 2 years of me trending on Twitter has actually made me a wiser person and someone who is more comfortable in life.
What about when you face, I don't know, you know, you drive to work and you're stuck behind a truck, or, you know, you can't get where you want to go. Surely part of you arcs up. Surely part of you is like, oh, come on. Surely part of you wants to blame an externality for your emotional feeling on the inside.
Well, yeah, I do, but it's not worth it. Honestly, it's like I go back to this breathing, and it's the corniest thing you can say, but the act of breathing is such a miracle that the fact that we are conscious is incredible. It's bizarre. And I do not want, and we never know when our last moment on this planet's going to be. It could be at any time. You know, there's examples every moment of every day where someone's just living their life and boom, it's over. I don't want that last moment to be me worrying about what someone said on the internet or me worrying about anything. It's just crazy. And again, I'm practicing, and I'll never be perfect, as no one will be. But yeah, it's really that mindset, you know. And my son, actually, I've got three children, and what I love about them is they love to laugh, and they honestly don't take life seriously. And my son turned 12 recently, and just as a joke, or I just thought, what's the secret of life, mate? And he said, to laugh at it. And I thought, my God, that kid has, I wish I had that at 12, because I didn't, you know. I took life so seriously then, and I worried about anything anyone ever said to me that was negative, you know. That kid, maybe he's found the secret of life, to laugh at it.
When did you come to this kind of thinking? At what point, you said you didn't grow up like that, at what point did you start to look at it as, and you're right, consciousness is bananas, like where rocks don't think about each other, you know, we're atoms contemplating atoms, and it's bananas. It's just impossible to accept that the carbon molecules that make up my body and your body were once a jillion light years away, you know, and then some gigantic explosion happened, and through an impossible combination of biology and physics, we have evolved into this thing, yes, that can think about itself. Like, it's bananas. And therefore, once you accept that everything that we see and do and think about, we have invented, once you accept that we could also reinvent it,
yes.
It's fucking mind-blowing, man.
Mate, every moment we should just be going, wow. Yeah. We should be like, every moment that we're alive, we should be like the first, you know, cone we've ever pulled, where we're going, oh, my God, this is amazing. You know, this is what? That should be us all the time. But we spend most of our time worrying about bullshit.
So when did you come to this?
Oh, sure, I come to it all the time, and I remember it all the time. Yeah. I'm nowhere near perfect, but it just slowly it occurs to me, or just it happens again. It's just, I just have these moments where I go, hang on, fuck, it's amazing to be alive. And it's, I don't know, man, but we just should be wowing it the whole time. Should be wowing it. You know?
I had to go to a Buddhist retreat in my 20s to even begin to scratch the surface of this kind of thing. Like, how did you get exposed to this kind of thinking?
Well, you know what? A Buddhist retreat is something that I definitely, similar experience. So I went to a Buddhist service back in Perth when I was living over there at the age of 21, I think, and sat, you know, where you sat in a room with, you know, a monk who led the congregation, so to speak, and for half an hour, no one was allowed to speak, and I honestly thought, fuck that. I grew up in the Catholic Church, and you know, I've been to many church services over many years, but it was more powerful that half an hour of not speaking, because I thought at the end of the half hour, no one had spoken any bullshit, and it's that silence that we all end up going back to. That's the joy. That's the real stuff. That what is it? It's the awe and the mystery of whatever this is. And we can choose to acknowledge it and revel in it, revel in that mystery and that great beyond.
Is it something that you practice? Do you have a practice every day?
I meditated yesterday and I meditate most days. I've had many years of not doing that. Whenever I do, I never regret it. It's like someone who exercises. You don't regret having exercised, but then you think, why didn't I exercise the last month? And meditation is very similar to that, as in it is well worth it for any moment, anyone. And people might be listening as I say it to people. They go, I can't do it. I say, yeah, but even trying to do it means you are doing it, because even sitting there for 5 minutes with everything shut and just quietly, at least you're acknowledging the fact that your brain is zzzing and you're noticing those thoughts. And that's all. Meditation is just noticing the thoughts that you have, and the more you notice, you know, hopefully the more they sort of just drift to the background. So, yeah, meditation is a great thing for anyone to do, and you can do it anywhere. Meditation is just being where you are at any moment. You know, it's like it's driving without the radio on. I mean, I'm on radio, so it's a terrible thing for me to say, but if you can drive without the radio on, say for 10 minutes, and then just you're in the moment. So anytime you can switch off all the bullshit around you is a meditation.
Because that's the big thing. People have this misconception of meditation that if I meditate correctly, my mind is quiet. But that's not really what it is it?
No, it's just noticing what you're thinking. It's just that it's stepping back and being the observer of that brain, you know. And I say to my kids, you're producing all those thoughts. They're like a sausage factory where you're just producing thought after thought after thought. Just in your mind, if you can step back from that and see the production of thought, see how one thought links to another thought links to another thought. And that is meditation. It's just noticing of what you're thinking.
I guess it's the popular culture is that when they show a meditator, it's someone usually in a robe sitting cross-legged with their eyes closed and still. And the perception is like, well, they clearly haven't got, you know, oh, I kind of need to pee. Where's my shoe? I can't remember. Did I put the cat out? Why is France so far away? Did frogs like chocolate? Like, you know, they think that that's not what's going on. But exactly what you're saying, that person is sitting there probably just being mindful of their breathing. They're probably quite good at what they're doing. Yet it really is noticing. I've heard it. It's like watching back when we could see a parade go by, or watching a river flow past, or just watching a freeway of traffic just going, oh, look, red car.
Yeah.
Oh, blue car, another truck. Oh, that's interesting. And you can either choose to stand in the middle of the freeway, or you can stand on the side and watch it all go by. And in the noticing, as you mentioned earlier in the conversation, in the noticing is the power to decide what you do about it. And I think that's the real key.
Yeah, you're right. It's like it's those thoughts go past and you can choose to, you know, be on that thought raft and get taken down the river, or you can step back from the river and just see the thoughts go past and let them go. Let them go and don't let them take you down a dark hole, which we often do get taken down.
Yeah, there was a time in my life when I was on a medication that wouldn't allow me to get to that point. And I got quite downhearted that I couldn't reach this spot of that observance. But then someone explained to me, oh, that's because you're on these meds. Your brain actually can't get to that point. Oh, okay then. And then as I changed meds, it got a little easier. And in fact, on the meds I'm on now, it does become a whole lot easier. And I found sometimes even just if I use the words, if I put it through my verbal cortex, if I just say, I'm noticing, like, oh, I'm noticing I'm feeling kind of angry. Well, I'm noticing I'm feeling nervous. That is enough sometimes to make me then, oh, now I'm observing that thought. I can go, okay, like I still have to ride out the adrenaline or ride out the, you know, the flush of emotion in my body, but at least I can hopefully make better choices in that moment.
Yeah, look, being aware, it's all about awareness, and being aware of the fact that your brain is, it goes off on its own, but it doesn't really. You are actually making those decisions, but if you can step back from the thought process, you can see how the decisions are being made by your brain. And it's, yeah, stepping away and stepping back is a very valuable thing to do. Absolutely. And I'm doing it more and more in my life, and I appreciate it.
How do you find time? Like, we've done a lot of lockdown. Melbourne's not looking great as far as another lockdown goes. Your wife teaches, you've got three kids at home. How do you even find time in a house full of chaos and pets and animals and kids to find space to sit?
Well, you know, you can always find 20 minutes. You can absolutely, generally you can find 20 minutes. But again, you can be meditating while you're doing the dishes. You can be meditating while you're picking up all of the rubbish that your kids have left on the ground or that the dog threw in the backyard. It can be any moment, and we should choose to treat every moment like a meditation. And it's all about being aware of the fact that you're here now and that's it and this is amazing. Life is incredible. Every moment is incredible. And all the noise is bullshit. It's all bullshit. My dad, he didn't reach any great heights in a career at all or whatever. You know, he used to go fishing and he would just put a rod in the river and just sit there and just stare. And I used to think, how can he do that? Now I just think that is wisdom. Just to be able to sit there and contemplate the fact you're alive, that is all anyone needs to do.
Meditation's one thing that you do that helps your brain allow you to do what you do in your life and be, you know, a great dad, a great husband, and great at your jobs. Tell me about the role that running plays in your life.
Running's an easy thing to do. Again, that's a meditation. What I'm doing now when I run is I count every five breaths. So I just count, I just go breathe five times and then start again. It's a beautiful way to just get out and about. And I'm a big runner and, I'm out every day. So for 20 minutes, half an hour, I don't use headphones, just my own thoughts. And, I hit the pavement and I absolutely love it. I absolutely do.
Take a phone with you when you run?
No, although I do have my Apple Watch sometimes, I like to check how fast I'm going. I definitely do that. So, and I like to run to time. So I like to, I'm 50 now and I still run pretty quick. I can do just over 4 minute Ks for.
Fuck me. That's fast.
People go, I ran past a woman the other day and she said, I've never expect you to doing this. I'm like, I run every day. Just don't look like I do, apparently. So, but any exercise surely is a valuable thing to do.
When you run, do you find the hormone release hits you? Do you get that 20 minutes, half an hour? I don't know. Is that enough time? When I used to run, I can't run anymore. It would take about 45, 50 minutes before I got that real rush, that kind of runner's high.
Yeah, and I try to run fast. So when you're doing 4 minute Ks, you get that quick. So yeah, I can do 4K and really feel good at the end of it. Oh. So yeah, if you run fast enough for it to feel good just by not running, by stopping, you get that high because you're running enough to hurt. And so when you stop, you're pretty happy that you stop. So yeah, I like the intensity of running quite fast.
Not everyone's going to be able to do 4 minute Ks. What would you say to someone who's going, oh, geez, I'd love to run more, but that all sounds too fast and too much. I won't even start.
Again, like anything, you don't have to be the best in the world. You just have to do it. And I would say just get out there. And look, I know that we're both vegans, yes. So, and I must say, I don't know if we've talked about this before, but that has helped me at the age of 50 to be able to run and not get injured. I think being a vegan's helped that a lot. It's 2 years now of being a vegan and I'm not getting injured at all. So no soft tissue injuries. And from the age of probably 30 to 48, I would pull a muscle every 3 weeks almost, you know. And I honestly think that being a vegan has helped me not pull any muscles in the last 2 weeks. In 2 years.
2 years, wow.
I reckon from the age of 35 through to, you know, I'd become a vegan at 48. If I was living in a two-level house and sleeping upstairs, I'd have to go down the stairs sideways every morning because I would just stiffen up every night, now, whether I'd done a hard run or not the day before. And now I'm running every day and I'm walking down the stairs every morning frontways like someone who's not, you know, got aching bones. It's incredible. It really is. It's crazy.
Both my parents were doctors and they used to say, well, Mum said one thing and Dad said the other about getting older. Well, Dad, he was a rheumatologist, so they dealt with rheumatic disorders and arthritis and things like that. And Dad said, as long as you move every joint in your body through its full range of motion every day, you'll be all right. And yep. That kind of blew my mind. And my mum said, after the age of 40, your body has to become your hobby. Whatever it is you want to do, as long as your body is a part of your hobby, you'll be fine. So that means that the movement and the exercise is a part of the thing that you do. So standing around repainting model trains, probably not. Golf, great. Orienteering, great. Surfing, great. Whatever it is that you want to do, cycling, great. As long as your body's your hobby, you'll be okay. Because she would just see precipitous decline of lifestyle outcomes for people who were, you know, stagnant and not moving.
Well, we don't put enough focus on it. It's, I mean, I know it's been said many times, but over the last, you know, 2 years, thinking about COVID and not getting the bug, but yeah, we, as a society, we don't put enough focus on the fact that the best way to stay well is to be proactive, you know, and to move and to eat well and to make choices that can keep you joyfully, you know, healthy.
You do get a lot of joy out of being a dad, don't you?
Absolutely. It makes me laugh every day. My children are really funny. They're very disrespectful. And the other night when I was shaking my tail feather with George Columbaris in the feather duster thing that he was doing, and then I was doing it on the behind the desk, and then you said, your kid's going to be embarrassed right now. We were watching that on our big screen TV at home, and my son at the time was saying that he wanted bleach so he could pour his eyes out. So before you said what you said, he was already saying, this is the most embarrassing moment of my life. And then you said it, but you were talking to him through the flat screen as he's sitting there watching it. It was just a beautiful moment. It was a wonderful moment.
You said it in the group text, you're like, my son wants to implode from embarrassment. It's delicious. You're like Colin Robinson in What We Do in the Shadows, just feasting on the awkwardness.
Mate, I love it. I honestly love it. I just love it. I love the silliness of that and the fact that they're so embarrassed by me.
Yeah, but that's all. I mean, that's why dad jokes are so great.
No, you just embarrass your children. It's like you fart in front of them as loudly as you can.
You seem to be, despite, you know, the world's kind of tricky right now. You know, Victoria's COVID cases going up. We've just signed up to be nuclear friends with America. Europe's shunning their back on us. China's upset. It's a fucking scary time to be alive. When you were thinking about having kids, did you think about, oh, the world's kind of scary?
No, not really. I mean, I was never, my wife, she's a very maternal. She honestly wanted to have kids like 3 months after we started going out, you know, and I was like, she was 22, I was 31. It was like, you know, I've done jokes about this and I'm like, you know, let's just have fish and chips tonight. You know, let's not worry about kids. But she's always wanted to have kids. And I never really thought about it, to be honest. And I've never thought about the world and how it will end up for them. You know, I mean, even though I'm making good choices in, you know, that I don't drink, I've stopped eating meat. I know that's great for the environment and not enough people link the fact that eating meat is bad for the environment. That drives me insane, to be honest. I often walk past global warming protests and I just want to yell out, you guys are eating meat, all right? You're eating meat? So I'm doing the right thing in many ways, even though, as you know, when you talk about it, people just hate you for it. So I can't. But I want to go back to every moment you're alive is a blessing. And the fact me and my wife being able to bring three, you know, children into the world, and they've already enjoyed the majesty of the world. You know what I mean? So I don't want to worry about the future for them, even though obviously I want the world to be a good place for them. I'm choosing not to worry for them, and I don't want them to worry either. I'm not saying I don't want them to make the right choices I'm not saying I don't want the powers that be to make the right choices, because I do. And I want us to protect the planet as much as possible. And I love looking at a tree and contemplating a tree. And thinking, so there's a book I read recently called The Understory. And it was a novel, but it was based on trees and how majestic trees are. And we don't even think about how majestic trees are most of the time. They're incredible, incredible organisms. And so I don't know. I can't remember the question, to be honest, but I want my children to enjoy life. Yeah. And I say it to them all the time, respect the planet and you know, and they tell me to shut up, basically.
You, over the past 18 months, as you mentioned, you've been quite vocal about public policy. And from what I gather watching the comments you make, they all kind of stand in a place of fairness for all and just kind of calling out of double standards. I think that's the main thing that really, from what I observe to you, is a calling out of double standards. Well, hang on a second. How come 30,000 people can go to a football game, but we can't go here? As we go towards the next 6 months, you know, and we're about to see politicians probably not hit the campaign trail because of lockdowns, but probably be in our news feeds and in our Facebook ads. What are some things that you think people should kind of look out for and be wary of?
Well, I think that, yeah, politicians that are mindful of not creating double standards. And I've had, when ScoMo was, you know, travelling from Canberra to Sydney every weekend or most weekends to visit his family at Kirribilli House. And you know, I know people who have, you know, sick relatives in Canberra and couldn't go from Sydney to Canberra because they're not allowed to, but he's allowed to. These sort of things aren't, they should annoy more people, I reckon. And people say, but he's the Prime Minister. I go, but he should be setting an example. If the normal person is allowed to do it, he shouldn't be doing it either. So, yeah, I really, you want politicians who think more, basically, who aren't so narrow-minded. So, you know, whatever side of politics you're on, I don't care. I've always been a Labor voter myself, but I've been very annoyed with the Victorian government, who are a Labor government, and people go, you're anti-Victorian, you're anti the Labor. I say, I've always voted Labor. I'm not anti-Labor. I'm just... You're dealing with the government in front of you, you know, so to take the time, it is important to vote and to hopefully get someone who's better than the other. We can all say they're all shit, but, you know, let's get the least shit one. It doesn't matter who, you know, and I'm not saying who that is right now, but have a think about it, basically.
You see, I won't mention names, but if I turned up drunk to work, it would be Welcome to the Masked Singer, I'm Dan McPherson. That'd be it. I don't get to turn up drunk to work.
Mate, it's unbelievable how people can accept people who are doing the wrong. Yeah, I agree. It's bizarre. It's like, fuck, as long as you're already famous, you get to stay in politics, apparently. So that's what it seems to be the case. So, I hear what you're saying there. There's just so much. It actually does your head in, and it's not good for your serenity, honestly, to focus too much on it. And I've done it too much. I've focused too much because it just, again, you're driving along and you're not being zen because you're thinking of the fucking ridiculous shit that goes on and that people get away with.
Yeah, and it's not some sort of benign choice that's being made either. No, people are dying because of the choices that are being made. You know, I mean, I don't know what the news is right now. We're 20 minutes away from 11 o'clock when we're recording this. So Queensland hasn't said it yet. But, you know, to go from we have one case, we're going to lock down southeast Queensland, to we've got six cases that have been out in the community for a week, but there's an NRL grand final on in 3 days. So we're going to make it's like, fuck you. Seriously.
Mate, it's the hypocrisy the hypocrisy just kills you. I mean, apart from the virus or whatever else, but the hypocrisy. The one rule for one rule for the others, it drives people to distraction and you can't think about it too much. And that's why you've got to go back to your internal world, something you can control. Yeah. You know, I mean, you can control your internal world. And that's something that external forces, they're not in charge of. You're in charge of your internal world.
Just a little moment there away from my chat with Dave Hughes to let you know that it's not the first time he's been on the show. Oh, no. Hughesy came on the show brilliantly. Good Lord. 7 years ago? Episode 55 was the first time that he came on the show. And we go right into the whole idea that the very first time I met him, I don't remember meeting him. The first time I met him, he gave me a Logie and I don't remember it. And we went right into that chat and it was pretty interesting. So that's all the way back in episode 55, which we recorded in an apartment in Chinatown in Sydney when he was here for the Comedy Festival about 7 years ago. And it's a really good conversation. It's just back in this podcast feed. Just scroll on back and you can find it. You might hear another ad here. If you do, thank you. If not, we'll get right back to Hughesy.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
When we're, you know, about to do the final segment of The Masked Singer, when the head comes off and you don't know who it is, I get the feeling that that's one of the great pleasures in your life, not knowing.
Yeah, it is. And as I've said onto the panel, I think I've said to you from the panel, that's the mystery and that is the joy. The joy of not knowing is just wonderful. So, you know, to be honest, that's why with The Masked Singer, I was so glad that we were able to do the show and get it in the can before it went to air. Because as you know, the internet is in many ways a very smart organism and it can get people to a point. So being there without the internet and just not knowing, I bloody loved it. God, I loved it. And I love it. All the singers and, you know, sometimes not singers, how they embrace that show. It's bloody joyful.
What I love about it, and it's, you know, in line with this conversation, I just adore that the entire show is absolutely meaningless.
Yes. It's silly. I love silly. I love it. I know. I think you went on the cheap seats a couple of weeks ago. I went on it as well. And they're all, you know, they're getting serious about it. I said, guys, it's just fun.
Yeah.
If you can mock it, I don't care. Mock it. I'm loving it. I love the fact you mock it. I love the fact that you're, I just love it. I love the silliness of it all.
It absolutely doesn't matter. There's no money. There's no prize. Like, there's a trophy we got off Gumtree. That's about it. It's not even about who's the best singer.
It's just about celebrating life. I'll show the fact we're alive and we don't have to take any of it seriously.
No, we don't know who this is. Let's try and find out who it is. That's it. That's the show.
It's
fucking amazing. And what I also love about it is when the head comes off, and it's been three seasons now, nearly every single one of them says, oh, this is the scariest and best thing I've ever done. Because they're people who've achieved, no matter what they are, they've achieved the greatest thing they could possibly have achieved in their careers. You know, we had Michael Bevan, who, you know, in 1996 did essentially, if you follow NFL, he did the Hail Mary pass of cricket. He won a fucking World Cup against the West. It was unbelievable. The final ball they needed, it was incredible. He pulled off a feat of athletic genius that took him probably 3 seconds of his life, but defined who he was for the rest of his career. And then he did this thing. He put this mask on, dressed up as a hammerhead, and sang a silly song. And he came out of it going, "That was this is a guy who's probably played in front of 100,000 screaming people for 5 straight days in India." And he goes, "That was amazing. I love that."
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree that I love that they're scared, and I love that they embrace it, and I love that when the head comes off, they generally have loved it as well. They've gone, "That was," but you got to take a chance in life, you know. What I say to my children as well, I know I say a lot to my children, you've got nothing to lose. We don't have anything to lose. There's nothing to lose because there's nothing there. There's never anything there. So you've never got anything to lose.
I mean, besides shelter and food and warmth and love.
You know what? I don't even know how to say it, but there's Buddhism and there's Tao. Is it Tao? T-A-O, which is a thousands-year-old philosophy. And I was reading it recently, and there was some wise old dead for centuries guy had written, you know, the really wise people are the guys or the girls who are happy to have nothing. They're like, Jesus had nothing, you know, Buddha had nothing. They just did, people who give it away. You've got nothing. And the real wise ones, and that's a tricky thing to say, but the real wise ones are the people without an ego. People who are standing on the side of the road saying, "Give me $2, mate. Give me $2. Because they don't have an ego, they don't care. And it's like, I'm not saying that, I'm just saying, I think about that and think people without an ego, I'm not saying they don't have an ego, but people who are not worried I want $2. The beggars are the wise people. I'll shut the beggars.
I get what you're saying, and you did reference it earlier, but, you know, I know that my ego is a thing that has brought me great success and has brought my family comfort and has put food in our fridge and a roof over our heads. But my ego is also the thing that is the thing that has fucking caused me so much trouble.
Of course it has, mate. Of course it has. My ego is the only thing that's caused me misery in my whole life. Again, it's got me to the point that people know my name enough to have my name trending on Twitter. But it's the misery of the fucking ego. Comparing yourself to other people, comparing yourself to yourself, you know, just comparison. It's all ego based. When my dad would just bloody put a line in the river and just stare out into the nothingness. God, there's so much to be said for that.
Yeah. It's the misery in comparison, isn't it? And yet our lives are consumed. I'm holding up my phone now. My life is consumed by an algorithm that has noticed that I stop, for example, on, you know, I'll scroll, and I'll stop on a picture of someone I know with their shirt off lifting a heavy weight, all right? And then the algorithm goes, oh, he stopped on that one. And then the next time I pick up my phone, it shows me more pictures of dudes around my age with their shirt off lifting heavy weights. And then I'm like, I should probably do more about what I'm eating and I should probably lift heavier weights. Like, I didn't come up with that idea. I've been incepted by this fucking thing in my hand. You know? It's shit.
I get it, mate. I know it's shit. We follow our friends and they're all doing really well and it fucking kills us. But I, you know what? My wife is just a grounded person who sleeps well every night and is loved by everyone and is just happy. She said that she, at the age of 14 or 15, she decided to start being happy for other people and their success. And that made her life. She decided that she would be happy for other people being happy. And it made her life. Like, why the fuck can't we all do that, man?
Holly, the wisdom of Holly. Man.
Just be happy for other people. Be happy.
Do you remember the song playing at Cherry Bar when you met her?
No, I don't know. It's a rock, but I can't remember the song playing. But I do. I remember her just, there was a couple of her male friends just talking to me. And then I remember her face coming in over the top of them. I think they were shorter, actually. And thought, oh my God, that woman is the most stunning woman I've ever seen. You know, and I was a guy who grew up with no girlfriends, mate, until I was so nervous about seeing girls. I went to an all-boys school to avoid girls, honestly. My brother and sisters went to the Warrnambool Tech, and I went to CBC just because there'd be no girls there. I was so scared of girls laughing at me. So when this beautiful 22-year-old looked over at me and smiled, and I was 31 at the time, yeah, I was very happy to see her. And that's 20 years ago now. My God. We're still together. Crazy.
20 years is a long time, mate. What's the key?
I think we do laugh at the same things. And I don't know what the key is, but we're very happy. We are, you know. And we've kept up the intimacy. That's one thing. I mean, I know it sounds like we get graphic, but I think you've got to continue to be intimate with each other, physically intimate, you know, like don't ever let that fall away. I know a lot of couples do let it fall away. That's a bad idea. You've got to keep that up. I think that's, you know, that's one thing. But, yeah, I don't know. Again, probably her lack of ego and her being able to tame my ego to a degree, possibly.
When you disagree, and, you know, every couple disagrees, it's a fallacy to think that people don't argue. When you do disagree, do you find you're able to, you know, have an argument without using bladed weapons? Like, can you have an argument without having digs?
Yeah, we can over the years, yeah. And again, we've got better at it. And I think I've got better at it where I'm like, you know, I'll just walk away from that. And again, not holding on to anything. Just don't hold on. Don't hold on to comments. And that's great for your relationship to not hold on to anything anyone said. And so, and I don't do that as well anymore. So, yeah, she'll say something and I just, yep, all right, I'll accept that. It's my desire to be serene, I think, has helped in my relationship as well.
So you realizing that this person whom I love has said something that is kind of hurtful, I could hold on to it and justify my position and fight back against that, or I could let it go.
Yes, yes, and just let it go. Just let it go. And it's, yeah, sometimes we have ideological arguments and I just let it go. We're going to let it go. Well, she basically, partly she claims that my, as you know, my online vocalness is me just wanting attention. And I'm like, fuck, it isn't. I'm trying to change the world, you know. But I have to let it go. That, all right, fair enough. Just me wanting
attention.
Don't
worry, I get the same. I'm doing a lot of Zoom calls and stuff promoting the show. So I'm in this studio, you know, that you're seeing me on right now. So people recognize the guitars in the pink wall. And sometimes I wear a T-shirt. And she's like, Audrey says, like, would you stop fucking virtue signaling? Every fucking T-shirt you have to wear on television has to be about, can't you just wear a fucking plain T-shirt once? Like, but it's the Australian Parents for Climate Action shirt, honey. It's like, I don't fucking get
it. We believe we're trying to make the world better, and our most beloved other halves believe that we're just being wankers, basically.
That's exactly right. She's like, you really fucking love yourself, don't you? Like, yeah, honey, you're right. It's that same, the ego that's helped bring us this incredible life has jumped in and chosen my T-shirt for the day. Oh, and I have to be aware of that, part of me really wants you to look at my T-shirt and go, ooh, he's a good guy. And yes, part of me does, and I have to be okay with that, you know?
That still doesn't mean you're not trying to do the right thing by other people, honey. Still, I'm still being selfless as well as being an egomaniac. Tell me both.
Mate, I know that I've done Breakfast Radio. It can be a total punish. You've managed to do it for a lot of your career. And so for you to stay back late and talk to me, mate, I really appreciate it. So thanks, heaps, buddy.
Anytime. And I love the way you think, and I love the fact that you want to continue to think, and you're happy to explore concepts and celebrate this thing we call life, buddy.
I'm just grateful that we got a chance to talk about this, because this is the kind of stuff that we talk about all the time. But I think when people look at you, they have no clue that this is the machine that helps the Dave Hughes engine run. People might not understand that. And I'm grateful that you were able to share about that today. So thanks, buddy. I really appreciate it.
Good on you, mate.
So there he is, Dave Hughes. I hope you think a little differently about the world after listening to that. I hope that you're kind of holding onto your chair a bit, thinking about the person that can go out and just destroy the opening of the Logies and just slay every person in the room as someone who meditates and thinks about the incredible existential impossibility of atoms talking to each other and, you know, just revels in every moment of life. He's an amazing cat and I adore working with him every day. He's someone who really tries very, very hard to live in the moment. And between him and his wife, who's, you know, her philosophy of just deciding to be happy for other people's success, I think there's a lot there that I was happy to be reminded of. I hope it was the same for you. If you need anything from Hughesy, you can find him in the mornings. He's on Today FM in Sydney, Hughesy, Ed and Erin, their breakfast show. He's also at dhughesy on Twitter and davehughes.com.au for tour dates, hopefully, when we all get vaccinated and out in the world. Thanks for being a part of the show. Masked Singer is on tonight, 7:30, and I think the finale's on tomorrow night. And that's it, loves. I'll be back here on Friday. I hope you're doing okay. I hope we're all heading towards safety and togetherness as we push through this. If you do need me, send osher@gmail.com or find me on Instagram. I'm osher_Ginsberg. I've got someone working with me on Instagram again, so you can get in touch with me on Instagram again. I will find it. Thanks to Andy Marr, my audio producer, Rachel Barrett, my executive producer, Toe Hider on the music, and you for listening. I'll see you Friday. Until we speak then, sleep well and dream of beautiful things.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.